Hey everybody, this is Bevan, and you're tuning into Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. I've said my name three times. It's time to start the show. My co-host, Biscuit Reynolds, is in the metaphysical, and I've cried about the loss of his earthly companionship three times in the last few days. It was a full moon. I don't need to make excuses for my grief, but I just want to be present with you if you're mourning something that it's super normal. Or I hate the word normal. It's super common. It's a typical part of life. It's honoring what you've released and a connection that matters to you. And what I've really noticed about myself, because I'm always noticing things as I'm experiencing them. And what I've noticed about this grieving process is that the wave will come and I will notice, okay, I'm crying about this. It always starts with okay, it's like a signal for me that it is okay to have these feelings, because I spent so much of my life completely detached from my emotional experiences. I think, you know, if you're an expert at anything, it's the stuff you do 10,000 times or more. And I certainly had expert level practice at avoiding hard feelings. And I also am now like really committed to like this body self-awareness and noticing things in my body and recognizing our big emotional experiences happen in waves. They say waves of emotion for a reason. And it only takes 90 seconds to clear a strong emotion. I read it in a Martha Beck book, Finding Your Way in a Wild New World. Very good. And it sounded like bullshit when I first heard it. But then I was like, I had the opportunity to put it into practice right away. And I was like, wow, it's actually right. 90 seconds feels like forever when you're in it. But what I've noticed about the Biscuit Reynolds waves, when I say, okay, and I just let it come through, it's usually a few tears and then it moves. And I'm grateful, because then I can have the honest feeling of my honest emotions and then move forward. So, at 2 minutes talking about grieving my cat, why not? Welcome to my show. I want to talk about quality over quantity today. It's funny because originally this was going to be like a Spice Girls podcast series, but actually it's a white supremacy culture traits series of things that a lot of them overlap very cleanly with the symptoms of alcoholic family dynamics and the symptoms of decoloniality, which I've learned from Leah Garza through her Living Systems classes and her Akashic Mentorship classes. We talked about them in both, but we're really studying them in Living Systems. But quality over quantity is not one that's in all three. But I wanted to talk about it because I think there's this idea I've been teasing out with my friend Alexis, who's a young millennial. She's part of that like 1989 through 1991 group of people with that Capricorn outer planet stack. I've talked about this many times on the podcast, who I think are here, like their Aquarius North Node, their Jupiter Chiron conjunction to heal the mother wound and help us heal like generationally, like some big stuff. So I really pay attention to like what Alexis notices. And she and I have talked a lot about the concept of scaling business and like serving more people at once isn't always your best choice. And that's something I've certainly made many mistakes around. And focusing on the quality of what you can give to your clients versus trying to serve a whole bunch of people at once creates better customer experiences. And there's a tendency in white supremacy culture, and in the document, and I'll put it in the show notes. Every time I talk about it, I'm going to put it in the show notes because it's a really good read. It's only a few pages of a PDF, but it talks about like the symptom, and it talks about antidotes. And the symptom of quality over quantity is about like focusing on things that are immeasurable. It's hard to measure the quality of your connections with people. It's hard to measure the quality of your customer experience, right? But it's so important because every customer is a potential lifetime customer that is quantifiable potentially, right? Like if a customer comes into your store every day and spends $3, that ends up being like, I don't know. I don't do math like that. it's a lot of money over time, right? Just the idea. But also like in thinking about like who and how many people you can serve. I think about that a lot in terms of my aerobics classes. I actually prefer smaller classes. I've taught It's funny because when I first started teaching, I taught in LA at a gym that had my class size at 30. And I was like, this room is not for 30 fat people. I was like, maybe 30 very thin people who don't mind bumping into each other. So I really had to strong arm the owner of the gym into reducing my class size. And he never actually did it. He said he was going to do it. He never did it. But, you know, I also didn't have attendance like that. So I ended up with classes that were pretty consistently between two people and 20 people at the max. 25 was the maximum I ever did in that space. It's interesting because over time, when I was touring a lot, I would have classes that kind of topped out at about 35. And I taught one time this class at the Irvine Spectrum in front of a Ferris wheel. I'm so glad I said yes to this because sometimes you get offers for classes where they're not going to pay you, but it was a Torrid Hello Kitty activewear launch event where I got free clothes. I still wear every bit of that outfit I got for my payment 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago. It's the first year I taught my class. But there were 150 people at that class. It was huge. And I'm really glad and grateful I actually paid out of my own pocket a photographer to come take pictures of me teaching in front of this big Ferris wheel with Hello Kitty. It was iconic. But I met maybe 10 people in the 150 people who were there. So I like the connection part. That's my favorite part of my Zoom classes is the connection I get to have during our self-care check-in after class. And so just thinking about that, in terms of teaching again in person and what kind of experience do I want my clients to have and that kind of thing. It's you could make more money, and I'm putting air quotes around it, if you had more spots available, but that cuts into your customer experience and the quality, right? And also something Alexis brought to my attention a long time ago when we first started hanging out is this thing she saw in a class. Bless that teacher who played this 1 minute YouTube video. If you Google it, it's the economic hamster. And it's this idea that nothing in nature grows infinitely. Everything just kind of grows mostly when they're young, and then they kind of top out to whatever they're going to be. A tree will eventually be whatever the tree height is going to be. If you're not watching us, I just bent the camera so you could see the trees. But whatever height the tree's going to be, and then it stops, right? If things grow infinitely, then they use infinite resources. But our economy is designed to be this infinite hamster, basically, and gobble all the resources of the earth. We have everything available to us to have a renewable energy economy, an economy based on renewable energy that's sustainable for the earth. We have it. We have all the resources we need to feed everybody, to clothe everybody, to house everybody. We have never had more stuff on planet Earth. This is another rant Alexis likes to go on, is the stuff rant. There's so much stuff. This is why we actually originally bonded over a love for thrifting. And I love secondhand stuff because I don't want I don't want my money participating in wage slavery. I don't want a negative environmental impact as much as I possibly can. I try to steward my resources in a way that's in alignment with my values. And that's really hard to do. It's not easy to, it just takes time. It takes time and intention and kind of going out of your way frequently to do stuff. But the right thing isn't always the easy thing. And I think that's where the test of character comes in. So just thinking about that quantity over quality, as that's part of white supremacy. And I think white supremacy really longs to put us in little boxes, and, people aren't cookie cutter. People are individuals. And that's where when you get quality connection, you get the chance to connect to someone as an individual and value them. Equality over quantity, they talk about numbers in a meeting versus the quality of the discussion, right? And the connections that are available. A book that I have really enjoyed by John C. Maxwell, who I got to see last week. I took a selfie with him. I took my mask off and took a selfie with him. And he was in a book signing line. I did not stand in the long line, but I caught myself a selfie. And anyway, I love his books, and his book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, is really good. I would put that in my list of people skills books, along with How to Win Friends and Influence People, which should be called How to Shave Off Your Rough Spots so that people you love know you love them. And that's again about quality connection. Something that really helps me. Here's the thing too, is that sometimes you need quantity to get to quality. Like, my work in communications around the aerobics class and just getting it in front of more people. Like, there's lots of people who've just never heard of me who would love to go to my class. I'm sure of it. And always trying to figure out how to get in front of those people. And not being tied to algorithms and things like that. I say this all the time, but my branding strategy is the Steve Martin quote, be so good, they can't take their eyes off you. And so I just focus on putting out quality content as much as I possibly can, but also maintaining a quantity of content so that there is enough for people to connect to. And, you know, and you never know what's going to hit. I've gone viral a few times. And there are things that I would have thought would go viral and things that I did not think would go viral. And it's just what's going to hit at the right moment at the right time. And what's really interesting too is in these times, these unprecedented times, because precedented times are over. In these times, it really is like everything is different now. Like the way we were doing things 7 years ago is not the way it's happening now. And it's very... the word that keeps coming to mind is destabilizing, but it kind of is, you know what I mean? But like also, throwing yourself off balance keeps you strong. And that's how the process of walking is throwing yourself off balance again and again and again. Right. So, anyway, I'm just thinking about that a lot too. And just like how, if you want to have a quality connection, you kind of sometimes have to put quantity of, attempts out there. And from that quantity comes quality. And of course, in everything, there's balance because it's another John Maxwell book. I read it and I don't remember. No, it's Atomic Habits. I've talked about this book before too. In Atomic Habits, they talk about like putting, I don't know what book it was, but it's a common story. There's some like teacher, ceramics teacher who does this study where like half the people are tasked with make the perfect pot and the other half are tasked with make as many pots as you can. And the best pots in the class came out of the quantity group because through quantity comes quality. Right. So like thinking about that too. But in the antidote to the quantity versus quality thing, they said, that you really want to allow time for connection and, really dig in with people. There's more to it, and I wish I had my notes in front of me, and I don't, but that's all right. You don't have to be perfect to still show up and do your podcast. I say that to me. And I also wanted to talk about like part of the symptoms of coloniality on Leah Garza's list. She has like coloniality wants to control nature. And she also pointed this out, like when the Arizona Supreme Court, I don't know, they did something about abortion being illegal. And that's part of colonization wanting to control nature because our bodies are natural and our bodies are part of nature. And I was just thinking about that, like that quantity over quality, because then again, it like looks at us as just these like baby making machines instead of looking at us as like individuals with different circumstances and needs around our reproductive choice. It's so gross. All of it is just so gross. It's really hard to continue to digest so much like hard stuff all the time. And I just, you know, want to offer some solidarity with folks out there in the world around that, but also recognize that we can create the world we want where we are doing what we can, right? Like nobody can fix it all, but we can help, right? Like we didn't come here to fix a broken world. We came here to create the world of our dreams. I think that's an Adrian Marie Brown quote. But I think about that a lot, like just here to help. I can't fix this, but I'm just here to help. And one last thing that came to mind when I was thinking about like quantity versus quality and like, you know, the government wants to control nature and all of that kind of stuff is that like one of my big lessons over the last 4 years has been I'm part of nature. Like my body is part of nature. I come from the earth. I come from the stars. We're all made of stardust, right? And so I'm part of nature. Nothing in nature is in a rush. Nothing in nature blooms all year, right? Like, so if nothing in nature is in a rush, I'm not in a rush, right? Like, and just remembering that like I don't need to be in a rush. When I'm in a rush, that's usually when I trip and fall and I don't do quality work and I'm not the kind of friend or daughter or future spouse or whoever I'm in relationship with. Like, I'm not that person that I want to be, right? So like, and I'm not listening to my intuition, and like when I bypass my intuition, usually that's when I screw up more. So like, I want to slow down. I want to not be in a rush. I want to give myself the time I need to do what I want. And even like with my day, like I love a slow morning now. Like there was a Bevan many years ago in the dissociation, constant fight or flight mode Bevan, who would wake up at like 5 minutes before I had to leave and just start the day in a rush and continue and live in a rush, right? And then like reverse bedtime procrastination, so because like I felt out of control of my whole day, right? But like now, tomorrow starts tonight, I go to bed early. Like I love to be like laying flat in my bed whenever I can at a single digit. Like single digit bedtime is like the 2024 mantra. And it's not possible all the time, but as much as I can, and it's really, really good for me to be horizontal. It makes such a big difference just to even lay horizontal and just listen to an audiobook for a while. Just really slowing things down and closing down. And just remembering, like, I don't have to be in a rush. Like, I get to be the boss of my life. Our bosses don't control our bodies. And if they're trying to control our bodies, maybe they shouldn't be our boss anymore. But just remembering that kind of stuff, like, I think liberation starts in your mind, right? And like, I think we're getting, we're creating a workforce now. I think the newer people in the workforce are making this movement happen. And I think more of us are waking up to it. But like, where you just remember, okay, my boss is not in charge of my body. I'm in charge of my body, right? Like, I'm renting my hours to you for this, but you know, whatever your boundaries get to be, right? But thinking about like not being in a rush and being part of nature, my friend Jana of Feeling Loudly, I've had her on the podcast before. She's a really good Patreon podcast. So it's just for Patreon members. And she, does like a planet channeling episode once a week and then an Akashic Records download, once a week. And she had this message that like, with Uranus and Taurus, conjunct Jupiter, was talking about like having phone free time in nature for an hour or so. And remembering that our phones are a tool. And so when I was listening to that, I was like, okay, I can do that. And like, then I just started vibing myself. I was on this long road trip, so I had lots of time to just meditate and connect. And I realized, I was like, oh, our phones are a tool, and they're only a recent tool. Like, we haven't had cell phones for all that long. Not my whole lifetime, you know? And like, we don't cuddle with wrenches. We don't sleep with plungers, right? Like, really thinking about like, what is this electronic hullabaloo? And I'm not some kind of like conspiracy theorist. I don't care about conspiracy theories, and I don't understand what those people are saying with the conspiracies about the phone. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying there's something about the vibes, you know what I mean? In the way this tool is, and it's communicating that like having some phone free time in nature, I think is really nourishing. And so I did that. Like, I turned my phone off and I went in the woods and I laid down on the ground for an hour on the Jupiter Taurus conjunction. But like, also like when I go out in my garden, I don't bring my phone with me. I leave it inside. When I'm sleeping, I've had enough of my friends who don't sleep with the phone in their room talk to me about the quality of their sleep that they've gotten because they have started that practice. And I don't have like a smartwatch. I can't test the quality of my sleep. So this is a newer practice, but like turning off the phone overnight or just like keeping it in the other room. I've been experimenting with both, but, just really trying to have some time away, you know? And I think it's also good just in general to be away from social media and stuff like that too. But, it's definitely been lifestyle shifts. Like, I like to go to bed listening to a sound healing, and that's not available when I don't have my phone on. But I don't know. These are just things that are working for me. Everything in my podcast is take what you like and leave the rest. But I'm thinking a lot about this and like how Mother Earth has been connecting to our ancestors and that ancestral wisdom for millennia. And never in our history have the way our grandparents experienced the world is so different than the way we're experiencing our world, exponentially more now than like 100 years ago, like the two generations shift, right? Like, I think it's like we've just been developing so fast, right? And so it's just remembering to like slow down. You're not in a rush. Rushing is also a colonialist trait and a trait of capitalism that you don't have to participate in. I know that's not necessarily, you know, there's a lot of privilege in not rushing, but I will say there's also a lot of choices I've made to like shrink my life and my needs, which I'm not saying is necessarily always a good thing, but like I'm grateful for the freedom I have because of my lack of like, you know, Starbucks indulgences and things like that. And like I stopped drinking Starbucks long before there was a boycott about Palestine, but I am very proud of everyone who has stepped away from McDonald's and Starbucks and all the people on the boycott list, because our consumer power is the greatest power we have. And even if we had 1% participation, that's enough to like make some huge differences in the world. So just remember the power you have. And also I have an update, Libro.fm. Thank you to my friend Brian and my aerobics regular Brian. After my last podcast, like pondering how do I get an indie bookstore, Audible app, that's the answer. It's Libro.fm. I have plugged in my favorite queer feminist bookstore from Atlanta, Georgia, in as the like recipient of the funds that I spend there, but I'm very excited to have an alternative to Audible for the purchased audiobooks that I want to keep. But also love the Libby app for audiobooks that I don't keep. That really kept me company on my road trip. Okay, the best way to support my podcast. That's all I had to say about quantity and quality. But I hope it got you thinking. It's gotten me thinking. I don't even think I had like a thesis for this episode. It's just these are things that are like pinging around when I think about that. And I think it's good for us to be engaged in critically thinking the ways in which white supremacy and coloniality affect our lives, and alcoholism too, because why not? It's all linked. So I hope this is valuable to you. And the best way to support the podcast is my Patreon page, patreon.com/FKDP, which stands for Fat Kid Dance Party, which is my aerobics class for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. If you've ever been called too much, too fat, or felt too awkward to dance, mine is the supportive class for you. I hope that you will consider supporting so that I can continue making this podcast a priority. It is really my goal this year to be weekly podcasting. And the trees want you to join my Patreon too. You can also join for free. I give away freebies there, like free videos and things like that. But behind the paywall, there's pep talks. There's 5 years of content, I think. It's a lot of years of content. And I also just really want to help you be your best and regard your body with love and grace. My aerobics class is truly the best I can give you. It is, and you also learn way faster through play, and you need to move your body anyway. So let's move together. I have Zoom classes. We have 15-minute stretch classes. We have 55-minute all levels dance aerobics classes. I have an on-demand membership, which has like a full spectrum of so many types of dance classes. So much fun to be had back there with me and you together. Thank you to everyone who supports so that I can keep showing up in your podcast box, being a cutie in the woods, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everybody.